Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. I am recording this episode on Labor Day, so I hope that your Labor Day has been fruitful. Today's topic is very befitting for our day of rest, and that is handling the emotions of entrepreneurship. So there's all types of business structures for entrepreneurs, right? There's a solopreneur, and that's if you have your own business and you're a one man or woman show. You have family owned and operated businesses. You have small businesses where there's 1 to 10 employees, or you have mid-sized small businesses. You might be working full-time, but also have your own business on the side part-time. You may do freelance work or project-based work. Your business might be completely online. Your business might be a hybrid where you are both in person and online. You might actually have more than one business. Whatever your business structure is for entrepreneurship, I hope that this episode will be uplifting for you. Let's start out with a few statistics on entrepreneurship. Some of these I found are pretty inspiring, and I'll definitely be sure to link the articles where I found these statistics. And one is that there are over 31 million small businesses in the U.S., with most of these falling in industries such as contract work, landscape, consulting, events and entertainment, cleaning services, beauty and fitness, and pet services. Another statistic says 12% of business owners only have a high school diploma. I think this is good because sometimes we may feel like we don't have enough experience or education to go ahead and start that entrepreneur endeavor. Along those same lines, only 40 to 56% of small business owners have a college degree. I think this is encouraging because maybe you're in a place where you have not had the opportunity to finish your college education as you planned. Or maybe you do have a college degree, but maybe the business that you're starting or the business that you have is in a completely different field. Another statistic says 31 to 40% of businesses are owned by women. So if you identify as a woman, I think that is encouraging, but it's also encouraging if you are a man to know that there are a lot of small business owners who are also male. Women of color own half of woman-owned businesses. And most of our businesses, since I identify as a female, most of our businesses fall in the category of health and beauty and fitness, food and restaurants, retail, business services, or medical or therapy. And the last inspiring statistics for entrepreneurs was that the top 5 states for entrepreneurs in the U.S. in 2020 were California, Florida, Texas, Georgia, and Colorado. Now, in my research, I did find some statistics that were also deflating, and that is the average income is $60,000. Now, for some, that may be a lot. For some, that may be a decent income, and for some, that may be a significant decrease in your finances, especially if maybe you have left a job to pursue entrepreneurship, or maybe you've already invested a good amount of money, and $60,000 is not going to be enough for you to consider it a profitable business. Another statistic says 20% of businesses fail in the first year. So if you look at it from a glass half full, that means 80% of businesses will make it to the second year. But the statistics go on to show that 50% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. That can feel pretty scary. That can feel pretty deflating. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Another statistic says that finance, insurance, and real estate are the most successful industries for small businesses. So maybe you have a business in the health and fitness industry, or maybe you are a food and restaurant business, or you are an event and entertainment business. And so that can make you feel insecure and question whether your business can truly thrive based on this statistic. And the last one that I found that was pretty interesting was that businesses are more likely to succeed for older people. So that is people who are 50 and older. And for us business owners who are not in that age group, who are younger than that, it can make you question how people may perceive you and your experience and the quality of your services if you are younger. And so the reason why I thought it was important for us to look at these statistics is because it makes sense that on this journey of entrepreneurship, that we are going to experience some highs and lows. When things are going well, we can feel inspired, encouraged, confident, hopeful, proud, and happy. But when uncertain times come, when we have to close the doors, or when we're worried that we may have to close the doors, or when we're worried that we may have to take a temporary shutdown due to things that are beyond our control, when it looks like our industry need is dying down, or that our skills don't match the services or the need of the people, we can experience some pretty heavy emotions. We can feel depressed, disappointed, hopeless, confused, lonely, overwhelmed, discouraged, envious, jealous, anxious, insecure, uncomfortable, or rejected. Have you ever experienced any of those emotions on your journey? I know I certainly have. And so what I want to do today is give you 4 ways to manage your emotions while you're on the entrepreneurial journey. Now, I normally ask you to grab your favorite drink and open your notes app, or grab paper and pen to take notes. But today I'm going to do something a little different because I want this to hit your heart different. You can grab a drink or a snack, and I just want you to tune in. I'm going to be giving you some practical steps, but because this is a Christian podcast, I'm also going to give you some scriptures that go along with these 4 ways. And in each of those categories, I'm also going to reference some of my other podcast topics that are relevant to each of the tips that I'm going to give you. So let's go ahead and dive in. My first tip is for you to stay well-rounded. It is very tempting to spend all of your time or all of your free time after work on building your business. And in some ways, it's necessary, but it can be all consuming. And when you look up, you have neglected yourself, you've neglected other priorities, you've neglected your family, you've neglected your space. And so when I say stay well-rounded on this journey, I want you to start or continue your self-care. I want you to practice gratitude. I'm encouraging you to continue to serve other people, even if they are in your industry. Find ways to continue to help other people and their businesses grow. Find other ways to Make sure that you're continuing to enjoy your friends and families. And this means being present, being engaged, being interested in what they have going on. Because I know that sometimes in entrepreneurship, even if you're not actively working on your business, it's hard to shut your mind off even when you're doing other things. And so you might feel anxious or irritable if you are not actively working on the business. This is also a good time to go to therapy. One example that I have on why it's important to do your personal work is because think about the amount of rejection that you get, or the amount of no's that you get, or the amount of unresponsiveness that you may get from potential investors or clients or patients or whatever your industry is. If you have a history of feeling rejected and you haven't done your work, I think it's going to really be harder for you to accept that this is just part of the journey, right? If you have not done your work, if I have not done my work in this area, for example, then I may personalize this. I may internalize this as having something to do with my character or my personal value. So take the time to be well-rounded and read books on other things outside of your industry. Go to therapy, go to workshops, continue your prayer life, get adequate rest, move your body as much as you're able to. So one of the scriptures that I want to give you is found in 3 John chapter 1. That's the only chapter, and it's verse 2. And this is one of the popular scriptures where it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." This is a good reminder that not only does God want us to prosper in one particular area of our lives, He wants us to prosper in all areas. He wants us to be healthy. He wants our soul to prosper just as much as He wants us to profit and prosper in the marketplace. The other scripture is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, it says, "But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May He receive all the glory both now and until the day eternity begins. Amen." This is a great reminder that even as we are learning our craft, even as we are perfecting our craft and taking courses and getting business coaches, that we still need to continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy. This means we are not forsaking our prayer time. We are continuing to attend online services or in person, whatever you prefer. We are continuing to listen to sermons and different types of teachings, YouTube videos, whatever it is, to continue to be well-rounded and feed your spirit. And the last scripture for this tip is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And it simply says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And I love this scripture because it is a reminder for us to take time to rest. If we think about the story of creation, God rested after He had done His work. And that God will bless the work of our hands that we do on the other 5 or 6 days, the same way that He blesses the 90% when we give our 10%. So here's some podcast episodes for you to check out. I have an episode called "What is Achievement Fatigue and How Can You Avoid It?" The Mental Glow Up Goals You Need for Success in 2021, and Rested, Refreshed, and Ready to Work. And I'll be sure to link those in the show notes. Number 2, another way to handle the emotions of your entrepreneurial journey is to submit your plans to the Lord. And this will help us so that we don't have to hustle and grind the same way the culture does. And it can eliminate unnecessary frustration and grinding. The reality is that every good idea we have is not a God idea, or just because we can do something, it doesn't mean that we should. And more importantly, when we submit our plans to the Lord, it will keep us from being tempted to do whatever it takes to be quote unquote successful. It'll keep us from being tempted to do shady things or act in ungodly ways to be successful. And the scripture that I'm referring to is found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And it says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." This tip reminds me of a saying I heard many, many years ago, and that is that sometimes failure is being successful at things that don't matter, or that sometimes failure is being successful at the wrong things. And it reminds me of how we can toil and toil and toil and work so hard and not see any fruit. And that may be because we are building in vain. If you look in Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, the Passion Translation says, "If God's grace doesn't help the builders, they will labor in vain to build a house. If God's mercy doesn't protect the city, all the centuries will circle it in vain. It really is senseless to work so hard from morning till late at night, toiling to make a living for fear of not having enough. God can provide for his lovers even while they sleep." I like the scripture because it speaks to that fear. Sometimes that we can get caught up in the fear of not having enough or running out of what we do have. And it allows us to settle our spirits and rest. The podcast episode for this tip is one that I did call "How to Truly Measure Your Success." And when we are able to properly measure our success, then we can compare that with the plans that God has for us. Not our plans, but we can align our plans with the plans of the Lord. Number 3. Set realistic and godly expectations. Now, this can change depending on what season you're in with your business, but I do think no matter what season you're in, that it's important that we set realistic and godly expectations. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations, right? So we might set a goal of making 6 figures in our business, but what if that doesn't happen the first year? What if that doesn't happen in the first month? You bring in zero income, or maybe within 6 months, you've only had 3 sales. So you've only had maybe 5 or 6 clients. What if all you've had are inquiries and nobody is buying? Well, what if you've had a lot, but you still didn't meet that 6-figure goal? I know how you feel in terms of the disappointment, the confusion, maybe, did I hear God right? Is something wrong with my business plan? Do I need to change my goal? But it's important that we keep the goal, but we need to set realistic, what we call in psychology, SMART goals, right? You want to make sure that that first bar, or even the second bar often, is at a level that's attainable, that's realistic, and something that is within reach, because what it does is it gives you traction, it gives you momentum. So I'm definitely not saying to lower your main goal, but what I'm saying is to have realistic steps along the way so that you can help to manage your emotions. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations of God. I'm going to open this business and I'm just going to sit here and God's going to make my business a success. Sometimes we have unrealistic or ungodly expectations of other people. Think about how many times you have been offended because your family or your friends have not purchased your product. They have not followed your business online. They have not shared or promoted your content. Right? Think about how you felt when maybe the satisfaction rating you received was a 4 out of 5, or maybe a 4.5 out of 5, or maybe you even got a 3 on your first try. Is that so bad? Yes, obviously the goal is to get a 5, but are you giving yourself credit for the three or the things that you have done well, that you are doing well? And are you focusing on the fact that in your mind and your heart, you are missing the mark? So I want to make sure that you have realistic and ungodly expectations, because that can help you to manage your emotions. So the scriptures that I want to give you for this tip are to ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault finding. Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2 says, I will raise my eyes to the mountains, or some translation says to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This scripture is a really good reminder about expectations and putting my hope in the Lord, not on myself. Now I can work through God, but not relying on my own strength to help myself, or relying solely on other people to bless my business or to see the value in my business or to promote my business or to build my platform. This is a reminder, and it's very grounding, that I'm going to put my hope in the Lord, or if I'm going to put my hope in myself, it's going to be through the Lord. So do you see the difference in how it helps you to set or reset your expectations so that they are realistic and godly? And the two podcasts that can really help you in this area are Spiritual Thinking Traps. I have two different episodes on that. So there's part one and two. And then there's also an episode called Productive or Perfectionist. Which one are you? Our fourth and final way to manage our emotions on this entrepreneurial journey is to guard our gates. What do you mean by guarding your gate? The gates that I'm referring to here are your eyes and your ears. I know there's lots of information out there about how to take a social media detox so that you don't get caught up with feeling jealous or insecure about yourself personally, or about your business endeavors, or about your relationship status, or your parenting status, or your financial status. But I want to encourage you to think beyond just social media. I want you to think about the advice that you're getting. A lot of times when we hear people, we'll say, well, don't listen to haters, don't listen to anybody who's not doing anything, or don't listen to people who don't have your best intentions at heart. But what I've found is that you also have to be very wise about the advice that you get from very well-meaning people. Sometimes a person can tell you that that's not God's plan for your life, or that that's not God's plan for your business. But we have to guard our gates. We have to submit all comments and all counsel through the Word of God. And when we guard our gates, it can keep us from comparison, and it can keep us from being confused and second-guessing ourselves. And my favorite scripture on comparison is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. The New Living Translation says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. I really like this scripture, because when we are not guarding our gates, we can start to look around, and at first it might start out as cheer and happiness and celebration and excitement for the success of other people. But then when we start comparing our business and our entrepreneurial journey to that of other people, we start questioning our own calling. We start questioning the method that we've been using. We may feel discouraged and defeated because what we thought was a success for the entire year might have just been 1 month worth of success in somebody else's business. So do you see how that can actually negatively impact your emotions? The journey itself is already going to be emotional, but there are certain guard gates that we can put around ourselves to try to manage the depth of the emotions that we experience, or even avoid against some unnecessary emotional experiences. And the last scripture I want to say about that is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If faith comes by hearing, right, what is faith? It's the hope for things that are unseen. And so then if I am believing, if you are believing that your business is going to a certain level, doesn't it make sense that you need to protect what you listen to, who you listen to? So I want you to guard who and what you listen to based on the scripture alone. And the two podcasts that are helpful in this area of guarding your gate are A Cure for Comparison and 7 Ways to Win When It Feels Like You're Losing. So just a quick recap of those 4 ways to manage your emotions on your entrepreneurial journey are to stay well-rounded, submit your plans to the Lord, set realistic and godly expectations, and to guard your gates. All in all, what I want you to know is that the end goal is not the only goal. It's about who you're becoming along the way. I'll say that again. The end goal is not the only goal. It's about who you're becoming along the way. Let us move now into our prayer time. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to have a day of rest. Thank you for the mandate for us to rest. Thank you for our entrepreneurial journey. Thank you for our gifts. Let us remember that you are the giver. Help us not to be so consumed with managing and working to enhance our gift that we forget you, our giver. I pray that there was something said on this podcast that would make a significant impact in the lives of my listeners. And it's in your son's name, I pray, amen. That is our episode for today. What I want you to know is that your value is not tied to an income. I want you to remember that, because with God, you are amazing with grace. Until next time, take care.